Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. As you, I think everybody knows, Gabe is on vacation this week, and I saw a picture, Stacia showed me a picture of them this morning sitting, I think they were drinking coffee and just looked very relaxed, much more so than I am. A little bit envious there. Brother Cody will be bringing our message this morning, and William will be bringing Wednesday night's message, and then Gabe should be back next Sunday. Last I heard, anyway. If you want, open your Bibles to Psalm 100. In Revelation 5, 9 to 10, John recorded, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We vainly try to imagine that singing. We vainly try to imagine the harmonious voices, all in perfect pitch, perfect tempo, perfect unity, as one voice with a great range. The greatest performance on this earth would compare only as noise to that song." Psalm 100, verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Yesterday morning, as I was getting ready, I could hear Audrey in the living room. I couldn't make out what she was saying, but she was chattering along and singing. She was happy. And she was making a joyful noise, and it made my heart glad to hear it. I'm so very thankful that this verse says, make a joyful noise. I can make a joyful noise. When I compare myself to that heavenly host, noise, it's all I am. When I compare myself to my brothers and sisters in Christ, who I look to and think how sweetly they speak of our Lord, how easily they sing his praises, how well they lead in prayer, and I compare myself to them and I think, just noise. It's all I can do. Thank God, he is pleased to enable us to make a joyful noise. Who decides what noise is? Who decides what a joyful noise is? There are sounds and pitches that cause most of us to cringe, such as fingernails being dragged across a blackboard. But some noises are defined by who hears them. Take, for instance, a crying child. In so many instances, that crying child is noise, even to their parents. But sometimes, a crying child is a sweet noise. There were times when the kids were little that Stacia would leave the house and I would be left with the kids. And as she was leaving and the kids realized she was leaving, there would be a crying session. It was a brief period of time that this would happen, and for me, the parent left behind with the crying kids, it was a bit annoying, but there was a sweetness about it as well. In the tears of that child crying after their mother, you have wrapped up in it, I love my mama. I don't want her to leave. I don't want to be alone. Please stay with me. That noise was a joyful noise. As a father, I've heard many joyful noises in our house that others could hear and think, how on earth do you bear that noise? That ruckus, that racket would drive me insane. Well, many times in our household, events that occurred at other households that are just the normal development of a child, normal stage that a child goes through, they were insignificant events in those households. But in our household, Audrey might have worked very hard to accomplish whatever it is that is making that noise. And because she had worked so hard for it and had finally obtained it, that noise that would generally just cause you to cringe, that noise was a wonderful, sweet sound for our household to hear. As Gabe was concluding his message Wednesday night, my thoughts were turned to consider our Heavenly Father. How very patient He is with us and all our noise. And I wondered, do I make a joyful noise unto the Lord? What does He consider a joyful noise? Is joyful noise just happy noise? I just touched on how our noise is defined by who hears it. How you react to it is defined by what you know of that person. While we are in this sinful flesh, while we inhabit this body of death, can we expect to produce anything other than noise before our Lord, before the Holy One of Israel? We whose heart, whose imagination of the heart, that inward person, is only evil continually? We, even when we are able to have a moment of worship and praise, we readily confess, Lord, forgive me. You are worthy of so much more than I can give. Just noise. Sin. Sin is what I am. Sin is what I do. And sin taints even my worship. If it weren't for the intervening grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, anything, praying, singing, preaching, reading God's word, anything I do condemns me. Without Christ Jesus, my doing, praying, singing would be noise falling on holy ears to be removed. This is our natural condition, but thank God. As a loving Father, He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, in our Lord Jesus Christ, our noise to ourselves, noise to those around us, our noise has been made joyful noise unto our Father. For the rest of the service this morning, I just want us to look at some of the noises that have been recorded in Scripture for us. Some noises that I believe the Lord has made joyful noises for himself. And the first example that occurred to me as I thought on this was the noise of silence. Turn with me to Genesis 18. And we're going to turn quite a bit this morning, so you don't need to hold your place anywhere. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, we'll start reading verse 22, but in the preceding verses, the Lord had told Abraham he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And starting in verse 22, we have Abraham interceding for them. Genesis 18, 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Abraham continued pleading through verse 32. Now look over at Genesis 19, verse 24. Genesis 19, 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. As far as we know from this account, Abraham didn't know if Lot had been spared from the destruction or not. I'm sure his heart broke, supposing that his nephew had fallen. But Abraham held his peace, silently submitting and knowing the Lord of all the earth had done right. Now turn over to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12, beginning in verse 18. 2 Samuel 12, verse 18. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. When the weight of our sin comes upon us, when we realize what we are, what we've done, what we deserve, when we witness God's justice carried out, and our hearts grieve and are broken, oh, may God give us the grace to bow and worship in silence, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, acknowledging the judge of all the earth does right. Another joyful noise. Turn to Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Job, his children, and his livelihood being destroyed in a day, arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. He grieved, his heart broken, and he grieved. And he fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Excuse me. 1 Samuel 3, verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. 1 Samuel 3, 12. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son? And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Both Job and Eli bowed to and worshiped God as he is, the sovereign king, who does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord in bowing to our sovereign king. The next example is perhaps the sweetest noise ever muttered by a sinful man. Turn to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Over the page to chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Lord, save me. Lord, help me. What a sweet, delightful cry when the Lord causes a person to know their true condition and gives them a heart to cry out to the only one who can save. As parents, there are circumstances in which we watch our children and we know the outcome. We know they're going to fail. They're doing something, and we're watching them, and we know failure is coming. But for that child's good, we have to let it play out. They've got to learn, and the only way for them to learn is to go through it. Then, when the failure comes, and the child turns their eyes to you and says, "Help me," we're there immediately. Oh, sweet words. Sometimes not even words. Sometimes it's just a noise. "Help me." Those words say, "I trust you. I need you. And I know you're able to. Help me." One final example. John chapter 21. John 21, beginning in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Lord, thou knowest all things. The child of God knows my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because we have been made to know the nature of our hearts, because God has revealed to us what we are, we cry out with Peter and David, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Those were some examples I thought of, that are noises we make, noises that are made joyful if Christ dwells in us. But how does he make these noises joyful? How does the noise of a sinful man be made to be a joyful noise unto the Lord? Only because God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, being manifested in the flesh for the joy that was set before him, he himself made joyful noise on our behalf. In Luke 23, as our Lord hung upon the tree, after being beaten, his tongue, as recorded in Psalm 22, cleaving to his jaws, our Lord makes a joyful noise as he prays, Father, forgive them, even as he shed his precious blood. Then, in the 3 hours of darkness, just as Abraham and Isaac went up the mount to worship alone, God the Father and God the Son concluded their covenant alone. There in the darkness, our precious Savior, bearing our sins, endured as absolute justice fell upon him the wrath of God. And at the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why was he forsaken? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Turn one last time over to John 19. John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Skip to verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Salvation is done. Lord Jesus Christ, in living for us, in keeping the law as a man, in taking and bearing our sin and iniquity in his body on the tree, in suffering the death that my sins are due, he put them away in the tomb. And he arose that he might clothe those he saved in his righteousness. Because he ever liveth, making intercession for us, our Heavenly Father hears the noises we make, and those noises are made joyful noises, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ maketh joyful noises unto the Lord. Do we make a joyful noise unto the Lord? We do if we bow before him as the one true and living God, the one who does all things well, our sovereign King, and if we look to, rest in, and trust our Lord Jesus Christ alone, for he has made unto us all and in all.